Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Free markets have been supplanted by government's unprecedented and comprehensive interest rate manipulations. Therefore, they have become dysfunctional and ripe for collapse. No surprise. The bond market is imploding. It's in the process of imploding. The bear market in stocks is on the cusp of entering phase two. And the real estate market is next in the queue for distress. For an example of how perverted markets have become, U.S. home buyers now need to earn $115,000 per year in order to afford the median priced house. They not only need a record high level of income, but that salary must have increased by 53% in the past 3 years to enable them to adequately afford a home. It isn't any wonder why, then, that existing home sales in September came in at the lowest pace since 2010. The real estate transaction market, especially for existing homes, is in a depression. And this is true even though the labor market is extremely strong, at least according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Initial jobless claims fell last week sub 200,000, 198,000 new initial claims. This was a decline of 13,000 from last week. Just imagine how unaffordable and how dangerous the housing market will become once the recession starts, and then the labor market begins to crack. For now, this surprisingly strong labor market data is putting more upward pressure on interest rates. And yes, it does matter a whole lot if the U.S. government is insolvent. Spiking bond yields put massive downward pressure on P multiples, price to earnings multiples, and can and will lead to equity market collapses. This will crush consumption of the top two quintiles of income earners, which have kept the economy afloat. The lower three quintiles are already broke. The Conference Board's leading economic index for the U.S. declined by 0.7% in September of 2023 to 104.6, following a decline of 0.5% in August. Here is what the senior manager of the conference board had to say, quote, and listen to the whole thing. The LEI, leading economic index for the U.S., fell again in September, marking a year and a half of consecutive monthly declines since April 2022. In September, negative or flat contributions from 9 of the index's 10 components more than offset fewer initial claims for unemployment insurance. Although the six-month growth rate in the LAI is somewhat less negative and the recession signal did not sound, it still signals risk of economic weakness ahead. So far, the U.S. economy has shown considerable resilience despite pressures from rising interest rates and high inflation. Nonetheless, the Conference Board forecasts that this trend will not be sustained for much longer, and a shallow recession is likely in the first half of 2024, close quote. This is from the independent group of economists at the highly accurate Conference Board. Now, I agree with the Conference Board's conclusions and observations, except the recession will not be shallow. It's going to resemble more like a bottomless pit, unfortunately, at least for a while. A taste of what is to come can be found in the auto loan market. The percent of subprime auto loans that are at least 60 days past due increased to 6.1% in September. That figure is at a record high. And that's in an economy that is supposedly experiencing a boom. 5.4% GDP, according to the Atlanta Fed. We'll get the figure tomorrow, but 5.4% is the guesstimate. And it's supposedly, the economy is supposedly in full employment now. Whew. Just how many auto loans are going to be past due when reality hits? The reality of spiking borrowing costs across the board on record debt. and record asset prices. The benchmark 10-year note has historically traded commensurately with nominal GDP growth, which is real GDP plus inflation. In Q3, the quarter that just ended, the current dollar or nominal GDP figure was an incredible 9% according to the BLS and Atlanta Fed. For those people who have owned long-term treasury bonds, that 9% nominal GDP growth is one of the main reasons behind your pain in the third quarter. The absolute collapse, which is continuing into the fourth quarter. The lack of liquidity that is needed to support the massive increase in supply is the other. You know, I have to just mention real quick, parenthetically speaking, of course, I have to mention that the TLT, which is the long-term bond ETF, is, as you know, already down 45%, which is, you know, a complete disaster, of course. But if you look at it even today, it's down 2.5% today. Here's the point. Bonds are trading like, and I mentioned this before, like penny stocks. The long bond isn't supposed to lose 2.5% in one day. That's, you know, several standard deviations above normal. But here's one of the reasons why it's trading like, you know, a pink sheet stock. Total publicly traded debt has surged from $17.1 trillion at the start of 2020 to $26.5 trillion today. That's the real figure that counts. You know, we're not counting intergovernmental debt. We're talking about the debt that the Treasury must actually issue to the public. And the public must decide how much they want to get paid for holding this debt. Because the Fed's out of the picture now. The Fed's a seller. They still hold a lot of bonds, but that spike from 17 to 26, you know, it's a $9.4 trillion increase in just a matter of 3 years. Think about that. That's the problem we're seeing in the bond market: supply and no buyers. The interest we must pay on that debt has doubled from 1.5% in March of 22, when long-term rates were almost zero, to 3% today. And that rate is rising rapidly. You know, interest rates are near 5% across the entire yield curve. Interest on the publicly traded debt is now $724 billion in fiscal 23. It is nearly as high as our defense budget, which is the third largest budget item behind Social Security and Medicare. And there's going to be another $800 billion in interest costs added to that pile next fiscal year. Make that $1.5 trillion. Unless interest rates retreat very quickly towards 3%. So it's going to be one of the biggest, it already is one of the biggest, but it'll be very close to the largest, second in order of the largest items to our budget is interest on the debt. What a gigantic misallocation of capital. Surging supply and interest rates were the primary reason behind the bond market debacle that occurred during the third quarter. But what about Q4? Which is where we are now, and what will influence the current direction of bond yields. Given the elevation in oil prices, it is hard to imagine CPI will dip below 3% in the next few months. However, real GDP growth should be under 2% due to the rate of change decline in government spending and the eroding strength of the high-end consumer spending due to the reverse wealth effect. That puts nominal GDP close to 5% instead of 9%. And 5% is about where the 10-year benchmark yield is trading now. Where the benchmark yield trades is crucial in determining equity prices because their valuation depends greatly on the competition from that risk-free rate. There is significant downside risk to real GDP growth throughout 2024. Hence, while there is a good chance yields could retreat in the next few quarters, you're not going to like the reason why. It's going to be the result of plunging economic growth. That's not going to be good for most stocks, not in the short term. Lower bond yields are part of the healing process that is necessary, but they come concomitant with a recession. And that is when people lose 30 to 50% of their 60-40 stock portfolio. Half of 60%. is 30%. And bonds haven't been much help lately either. In fact, they've that normal ballast has destroyed your returns. So phase two of the bear market will be terrifying for most investors who are married to a buy and hold strategy that consists of, you know, that's some combination of 60-40, bond and portfolio, bond and stock portfolio. In contrast, PPS, Pento Portfolio Strategies, has a go-anywhere strategy that is predicated on the output of our inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model. For example, that allowed me to own safer and higher-yielding T-bills instead of longer-duration bonds in Q3, which have been, as I've said many times before, decimated in price during this bond market collapse. There should be a huge benefit to owning longer duration bonds in the next few months. This is because the EDV ETF, which holds extended duration bonds, is down 60% in less than 3 years, while the TLT ETF, which owns 20-year plus bonds, is down 45%. To get back to even where those prices, you know, where they were prior to 2020, you would need to make 80% on TLT and 150% on EDV. We don't have that problem, but we do have that opportunity. How would you like to own EDV on the way back to even from where it is today, up 150%? But you don't have to get back to even. You could just enjoy that ride higher without trying to make your money back. That's an opportunity. We also have the total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP at an all-time high, greater than any other time prior to 2020. That means adding equity shorts to the mix, which we will do, could be a very good move. And when you add in cash and the US dollar to that strategy, an investor could do very well in the next recession while the perma bulls get slaughtered as per usual. We have been in a bust cycle since the end of 2021, which is when PPS last turned from bullish to bearish. The S&P is down 13% since then and falling. And that includes your favorite AI stocks, AI. Meanwhile, the bond portion of your portfolio has been crushed. A successful retirement is not just about making money during bull markets like everybody else. Even though that's, of course, obviously important, perma bears get slaughtered too. But it's more crucial, even more crucial, not to lose money in a bear market. Because when you lose half your money, you have to make 100% to get even. Adroitly managing these boom-bust cycles with the correct asset classes, sectors, and style factors is what Pento Portfolio Strategies is all about.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.